I know I've already been up here, but I want to say good morning. Good to see all of you. Thank you for what you do here. Y'all are such an encouragement. You've been an encouragement to me for now. It's been over 6 years now. I don't know if you knew that. 6 years since I've been in Boston, since my family moved up here, and y'all have partnered with me since the beginning. In fact, if I remember right, I think Mo may have been the first person I heard from as far as like, we'll be happy to partner with you. And so this church, all of you have been a blessing to me and my family in our work. Down there. Y'all are north of us. That's crazy. Down there in Boston. And so really appreciate everyone here. Your love for the Lord, your encouragement that you've been to us. So thank you for that. Open your Bibles to, keep your Bibles open. James, but flip over to chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll begin there in just 1 second. James chapter 1. It'll be longer in a second. James chapter 1. I want you to imagine with me. Doctor walks in. He says, I have some bad news, but I have some very good news. The bad news, the disease that you have is fatal. Left untreated, most people die within a month or two. However, the very good news is, we caught it early. There's an effective treatment. People who take this treatment have gone on to live years and years longer. Minimal side effects. The only catch is you have to take this treatment every day. You miss one day, the treatment ends. You have to take it every day. I imagine if you were given this news, that you would not respond with a bunch of excuses for why you wouldn't take the treatment or why you couldn't take the treatment. Well, you know what, doctor? I'm really busy right now. I just don't know if I have time. I'm just so tired by the end of the day. Sometimes I just forget. I really just want to fall asleep. Well, it's just really distracting. I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. Is it really a big deal? Or you're laying in bed and you're like, I don't really want to get back up out of bed to go take that treatment. No, none of us would respond in that way. We wouldn't forget. We wouldn't be too busy. We wouldn't be too tired. We wouldn't justify missing one treatment tonight because we know what would happen. We would take it every night. Our schedules would be focused on making sure we always have this treatment that is imperative for us to live. Yet, I'm going to admit, I do this all the time, meaning give the excuses. I've been given a treatment that is imperative to my life, but you know what? I forget to take it. Well, as you've probably guessed it, the treatment is, I was really trying to come up with a word that was in one of the songs that I could just say, it's prayer. Thank you for those songs. No, it was really great. The treatment is prayer. Prayer is the treatment that will help me with my struggles. I love that last song. Really was helpful to just sing through these ideas of when we're going through dark times. What's the answer? Did you think to pray? That is the answer. Prayer will strengthen me when I'm suffering. It will give me wisdom when I don't know what to do. It will help me escape the temptations to sin that I regularly face, that I struggle with. And I know all this. I know all this. I know that prayer is the answer. Scripture's very clear that prayer is the answer. You know all this. But instead of centering my life around utilizing this treatment that will help me, I give excuses. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. Well, I forgot because I'm so distracted by everything. I tell myself, well, it's okay if I skip it this morning or tonight. I'll do it tomorrow. Even though I told myself that the day before and the day before. I hope none of you struggle with prayer like I do. But if you do, I'm going to step into the doctor's role for a moment. I have some bad news for you. You're going to face trials and testing that are going to push you. You're going to face circumstances and you don't know what to do. You and your loved ones, they'll get sick. Health will fail. Temptations to sin, they'll continue to come. You're going to be surrounded by just bad news all around you. But I have some really good news. The treatment, the answer, is to pray to God. He will help you. He will generously give you what you need. He will use His awesome power to give you healing, forgiveness, wisdom, and salvation. This morning, we're going to learn that we need to pray. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through the book of James to see that. James chapter 1 is where we'll begin in a second. James wrote this letter for Christians like you and me. They were facing trials and testing of their faith. Ever happened? Absolutely. All of us face trials and testing of our faith. Some of them were dealing with persecution and oppression. Others were dealing with sickness. It seems like probably the major problem that they were all facing and trying to figure out how to do is, how do I live as a Christian in a world that doesn't want me to? They don't want to live that way. They sometimes are antagonistic towards me, or at least are trying to undercut me. How do I live as a Christian in a world full of temptation and sin? This worldliness, it affects my speech. It distracts me from truly listening to God's Word, from letting it transform me. It leads me to failing to act out of my faith. I struggle with anger or pride. Struggle with showing love towards my brothers and sisters. I struggle relying too much on my own riches, my own money. Find all of those things in the book of James. That's what they were struggling with. Faith was lacking. Doubts were creeping in. And they needed strength to help them through these times. They needed to be healed of sins. They needed wisdom to know how to handle the circumstances and the challenges. All things we need today. And for all of those things, James has an answer. Pray to God. Pray to God. So that's what we're going to see. So beginning in chapter 1, James recognizes that the Christians are facing trials that test their faith. That's verses 2 through 4, where he talks about counting all joy, the trials that you're facing. Those trials can be for your good. They can strengthen you. They can help you. He says, in fact, you can even be joyful in that. And that they will perfect you so you're lacking in nothing. But now let's read James 1, verses 5 through 8. James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What's James saying to Christians right here? Christians need to pray if you are lacking wisdom. That applies to all of us. We all face situations we don't know what to do. I've recognized the older I've gotten, the less I know what to do. I would have thought it would be the opposite. But I face harder circumstances to where I'll sit there and I'll say, I don't even know where to go. James says we need to pray because God is the source of wisdom and He will generously give it to you without reproach. He will help us. That's the first thing. That's the first area where we see James talks about prayer. Now flip over to James chapter 4. James 4, we'll read verses 1 through 3. James 4, 1 through 3. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this? That your passions are at war within you, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. What's going on is the Christians, they're quarreling with each other. They're fighting amongst themselves. Verse 2 says that they desired something and they don't have it. And so, because they desired something and they don't have it, they start acting out on each other. They start fighting, possibly even killing each other. I don't know if that's hyperbole or not, but you've got this idea where it looks pretty ugly within this Christian group that James is writing to. And I think what's going on is the thing that they desired was actually wisdom. And I get that from actually the paragraph just above the end of chapter 3. Mine has a heading over verse 13, wisdom from above. This section is talking about the needing for wisdom from above. And I think what's going on is they were desiring this wisdom, but they didn't get it. And James gives two reasons. This is why you didn't get this thing that you've asked for. Or actually, take back the ask for. Verse 2, the end of verse 2, he gives one of them. One of the reasons you didn't get it, one of the reasons you didn't receive it, you didn't ask for it. That's why. Verse 3 gives another reason why they don't have it. They didn't receive it because they asked with wrong motivations. They wanted it for something else. They wanted it for their own passions, their own desires. You know, maybe if it was wisdom that they're asking for, maybe it's this idea of like, I want everyone to see me as wise. They'll exalt me. They'll lift me up. And God sits there and hears that prayer. He's like, no, you don't get what you want. Or maybe, you know, we can do it with money. We can do it with a lot of things. God's like, no, I'm not giving that to you because you want it for the wrong reason. That's what James is talking about here. So James says here to Christians, you need to pray. You need to pray to God so that you receive what you need. But if you don't ask for it, you're not going to get it. But ask with the right motives. Don't ask for yourself. Have it be focused on God's will, God's kingdom. Not on our own desires. Now let's look over at James chapter 5. We had this read earlier. I'll begin reading verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. Verses 13 through 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. These verses, James gives multiple reasons why Christians need to pray. If you're suffering, you need to pray. For those who are sick, you need to pray. For those who have confessed sins, you need to pray. James says the answer of all of these needs is prayer. Why? Why is that the answer? Well, James gives that answer too. God's power works in prayer. He responds to our prayers. You need God's help? Pray. That's the answer. I can stop there, but I'm not going to. I've got more time. I want to take all these verses. I want to kind of synthesize them together. And I just want to answer this question. Why do we need to pray? Why do we need to pray? Well, the first reason of why we need to pray that James gives is we need help. And I'll tell you, I don't like to admit that. I don't like to admit I need help. You may not either. We like to think we're independent. We like to think we're self-reliant. We like to think that we're clever enough to handle anything that comes. We're all confronted with moments. I don't know what to do. I can't handle this situation. My self-reliance, where I'm like, I can do this, I'm like, yeah, I'm not. I can't. It goes out the window. We need help. I want you to notice all the instances or circumstances that James, throughout his letter, points out of why we need to pray. The first is seen back in chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. And it's when we meet trials of various kinds and are lacking wisdom. We've all faced situations like this. A dilemma comes, we don't know the answer. Maybe it's that sticky situation with a coworker. Something's in between you, you don't know how to handle it. You don't know where to go. There's tension. You don't know how to release it. Maybe, for those who are parents, there's this new frontier of your children, and you're like, what? What do I do now? I don't know how to guide them. I don't know where to point them. I have no clue. I'm still trying to learn that myself. How do I teach them? Or maybe you're having to have a really hard conversation with someone. Maybe it's a fellow Christian, and you've seen sin in their life. Seen a struggle in their life. You're like, I don't even know how to say it. You keep looking for the right way. You want to do what's right. Maybe you're even digging into Scripture and you don't see the exact answer to your exact question. You realize maybe there's not a simple answer. There's not a simple response. It's something that requires more wisdom than you have. You need help from the Lord. And James says, when someone needs wisdom, facing a trial, you need to pray. So the first reason of why we need to pray and when we need help is because we lack wisdom. Well, there's another circumstance. This happens in chapter 5. Look over chapter 5 with me, verse 13. It's pretty simple. It's pretty clear. When we are suffering, we need to pray. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Verse 13. In verse 10, James is mentioning the suffering of prophets. I think that's the kind of suffering that James is referring to here. This idea of doing the Lord's will. I'm trying to be righteous. I'm trying to live as a Christian, and I'm suffering for it. It's hard. We saw that in the early church, right? In Acts, they're tortured for it. Dealing with hardship, stoned, fed to lions, all that kind of stuff. Peter's like, don't be surprised if it happens. Don't be surprised at fiery trials. They are a part of being a Christian, a follower of God. Well, how do I face that? How do I live righteous among people who are attacking me? Lord, I don't know what to do. I need help. I need strength to endure. James says, pray. When you are suffering, you need to pray. Another circumstance, this is in verse 14 of chapter 5, when someone is sick. Read with me verses 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And reading this, the rest of the verses, I think this sickness is referring to a physical sickness, a serious physical illness. Kind of the idea of someone's life hangs in the balance. Doctors don't know what to do. But James tells the Christians, you need to know what to do. Call for someone and pray. Pray to God. They need help from the great physician. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand this text and be like, that. Oh, this is a guarantee that Christians won't die or won't get sick. Obviously, that's not what it's talking about here. But it's referring to the incredible power that God works through prayer. You may know someone who was very sick. I have somebody in mind right now who was very sick. And you were like, I think death is happening. Church got together and prayed for them. And they got better. That's the power of prayer. We need help. Someone is sick. We need to pray. That's what James tells us. Next circumstance. This is in verses 15 and 16. When someone has committed sins. Read that with me again. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. I referred to that earlier. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. One more situation we all face. We have sinned, or a brother and sister has come to you and said, I have sinned. I need help. We don't look at that and say, no big deal. Hey, you know, we've all been there. Sin is dangerous. James knows that. James is like, you need help. We all need help. Sin leads to death. There's danger here. Something must be done, but what? I can't do anything. I've sinned. I can't fix it. I've tried. You know what happens? More sin. You come to me and say, I've sinned. I need help. I can't fix it. I've tried. You know what happens? More sin. We need help. Pray to God. The one who can help us. James says, someone's committed sins. You need to pray. God will help you. I hope you recognize through all of these circumstances, these are things we all face. And the answer to all of them is to recognize you can't do anything about it. You need help. Therefore, that's why you need to pray. Now I want to look at a second reason of why we need to pray that I think James is showing here. James says, excuse me, that we need to pray because God helps us. We face times when we're in need, times of trial, suffering, sickness, or sin. James tells us to pray during those difficulties. But this is not a prayer that just makes you feel better. Well, I spoke it out into the universe, and now I'm better. I just acknowledge that I need help, and then everything's going to be okay. That's not what prayer is. James explains that prayer is talking to and asking a God for help, and He will actively work for each of us in those situations. I want you to notice how James describes God's response to our prayers. In that situation where we're meeting these trials, these various kinds, we don't have wisdom. Go back to chapter 1, verse 5. Look at God's response, how He answered it. 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. It will be given him. God provides the thing we're lacking when we ask for it. He gives the wisdom when we need to face trials. When we're suffering, this was back in chapter 1. When we are suffering, James tells us to pray to God for help. Chapter 1, we'll read verses 2 through 4 here, where I think James is giving a hint of God's response here. Chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God strengthens us in our time of testing and gives us steadfastness. Where does that come from? From God. He's actively using this difficulty, this trial that you're going through, to give you strength, to make you perfect and complete. God is actively working. God helps us. 2 Corinthians, Paul will talk about the same idea and say that God comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort others who are being afflicted. When I'm suffering, the two things I need are strength and comfort. And God gives both of those. When we pray, God provides for us. He responds to our prayers. He helps us. Another situation, this is chapter 5 again, verse 15. I'll just read the very first part of the verse. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. When we pray for someone who's sick, look at God's response. He will raise them up. He responds by saving that person. His tremendous power is beyond your capability, my capability, the best doctor anywhere's capability. God will do it. God responds. And finally, when we sin, what's God going to do? Rest of verse 15. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. God responds to our request for help by giving forgiveness and healing for our sins. He gives us exactly what we need. He helps us. There's two more things I want you to notice about God's help when we pray. The first is that God helps generously. Listen again to chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. God doesn't offer enough wisdom to get you through the moment. He says, oh, well, you didn't know how to deal with that thing. Here's the answer. It's A. Choose A. That's all you need to know. Move on. No, God gives generously. He overflows wisdom on us. And then it says it's without reproach. He doesn't begrudge you for asking. He's not like, I'm tired of it, Kyle. Why are you not wise by now? I'm sick of it. No, God says you asked for it. Here you go. I will give you more than you even need. He is glad to fill our need for wisdom. God helps us generously. Second thing that we need to notice about the help that we receive is that when we pray, God uses His great power. This is back in chapter 5 again, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed fervently that it might not rain. For 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again. Heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. God will use His great power as a response to our prayers. James illustrates this by looking at Elijah. He says he's a man like you and me. By the way, let's think about it. Like, Elijah prays that it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. You know what I probably would have done if I wanted it to not rain? I would have dug into some old science books. I'd have been figuring out the cloud situation. I'd been like, what can we do to keep it from rain? And you know how successful I would have been? It probably would have rained every day. But Elijah prayed, and God's power stopped the rain for 3.5 years. God's power works through prayer. And then guess what? Elijah prays again, and guess what happens? It rains. God's power works. And James gives other examples. God's great power as a response. It heals the sick. It raises them from near death. It heals their sins. God helps us. When we face trials, situations, they're outside of our control. We need help. And He helps us in each of those. He will give us wisdom, strength, comfort, healing. God will work to help us. He will give us generously. He will use His great power. God helps us. That's why we need to pray. There's one more reason that I want to show you why we need to pray. We need to pray because we don't receive when we don't ask. I'll tell you, as I put this lesson together, this one surprised me. And I'll tell you, it also humbled me. I am sure that everything I've said so far about prayer has not been surprising. You're in trouble, you need to pray. Okay. Thanks. God works through prayer, sure. But none of that's breaking news. But I was surprised that I may not receive something from the Lord because I didn't ask Him for it. And that one hurt a little bit. It hurt a lot. We read this in James 4, verse 2. Read that with me again. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. I mentioned earlier that I think what's going on here is these Christians were wanting something. I think it's probably wisdom. But they hadn't received it. And that there were two reasons for it. And the first reason is in verse 2. It's because they didn't ask for it. And that humbles me because I realize that's one of my greatest struggles. I don't always ask God for God's help. I know I should, but I don't always do it. It comes out in those excuses, right? I'm too busy, too tired. I forgot. Other times I recognize that it maybe doubts that God will answer my prayer. Maybe it's a doubt in His power. Sometimes that comes in a time of like a spiritual dryness when I feel distant from the Lord. I think also one thing for me is I've struggled with a wrong mentality about prayer. Sometimes I don't think prayer is the right answer. Situation's coming up and I don't say, well, oh, the answer is prayer. That's what I need to do. No, you know what I do? I think, what can I figure out how to get out of this situation? How to fix the problem? Prayer feels ineffective. It comes from my mindset that action is better. Action's a better response to problems. I'm all about, I need to be more productive. I'm going to make a task list. I'm going to break it down, break down the problem. Now I'll figure out how to fix it. I just have to check off these tasks. I just want to get stuff done. But prayer doesn't feel productive. So I don't do it. Or maybe you've even given a different excuse. Like, well, God already knows what I need. Right? Why spend my time praying to Him? He knows what I need. Verse 2 says, you desire and do not have. God knew it. God knew what they needed. And then in the end it says, you do not have because you do not ask. All of these reasons for why we don't pray, ultimately they really stem from our pride. We think much too highly of ourselves that we can fix the problem. That we can handle it. But this text tells me that I don't receive God's help or His wisdom because I didn't ask for it. And that makes me realize how wrong I've been about prayer. My task lists, my productive actions that I'm going to use to solve the problem, they're no match for God's wisdom. They're not even close. My spiritual dryness that I've just tried to grit my teeth through, those temptations that keep bombarding me, but I'm just going to hold on, I'm going to do it myself. They're quenched when I can ask God for help. My excuses for being too busy, too distracted, they fall away when I realize that God's power is at the disposal to fix the problem. Why does God want us to pray to Him for help? I said that. You may be like, well, He already knows what I need. Why do I need to say it? Well, I think it's this. God loves me. And He wants a close, intimate relationship with me. He wants to abide with me. He wants to walk and talk with me in the cool of the garden. He wants me to trust Him completely, even with those secrets that are inside that I won't share with anyone else. He wants me to open them up to Him. He wants to know the struggles that I have. Because He's my Father, He wants to be close to me like His Son. To pray in everything, that's going to lead me to humble myself, to open myself up to Him. My pride, that's going to melt away. If I realize I'm inadequate, I can't fix this. I don't know what to do. I don't have the strength. I can't heal. But I don't need to be afraid to open up. Remember the time you were first dating? Like, do I open up? What if they don't like me after they hear the bad parts? God's not like that. God wants you to open up. God wants to know, because He wants to help you. And I need God's help. So I pray to Him because He wants me to ask for it. Well, I want to run through these points one more time as we close. Why do Christians need to pray? Because we face troubles and hardships that are beyond our capabilities. We meet trials that highlight how much we lack wisdom. We face suffering, persecution, which leads to fear and doubts. There's physical sickness that needs to be healed. Sin in our lives, and no matter how hard I've tried to scrub it or clean it out, it won't go away. I need Him. Why do Christians need to pray? Because God hears our prayers and promises to help us in our need. He will give us wisdom. He will strengthen and comfort us in our affliction. He will heal the sick and forgive our sins. And He will do it generously. With good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He will use His tremendous power to help us when we need Him. Same power that He used to create the world, that He used to raise Jesus from the dead, is the power He offers to us also. God will move mountains, He will stop the rain, and He will start it again as a response to a prayer of faith. Why do Christians need to pray? Because we may not receive it if we don't ask. We may be languishing through trials while God is just sitting there waiting for us to ask Him for help. Yes, He knows that you need help. But He wants us to ask Him for it. He wants us to humble ourselves. Say, God, I need You. I need Your help. I can't do it without You. Why do we need to pray? Because we can't afford not to. Prayer is vital. It's imperative. It's more vital and imperative than that pill that the doctor says, take this every night and you'll continue life for another day. When we see prayer in this way, our excuses are going to go away. I'm not too tired anymore. I need God's help. I'm not too busy. I'm not too distracted. I didn't forget. I need to pray. Thank all of you for your attention this morning. Sometimes lessons are really just for me, so you get to just hear my thoughts for myself. I hope they're encouraging for you. I'm sure we all struggle with prayer. It's easy to think that it won't do anything. But I hope you can see through the book of James that it absolutely does more than we can even imagine. If there's anyone here who needs prayer, now would be a time. You have a lot of people here who want to pray for you. If there's anyone here who needs to know more about Christ, now would be a good time to say something or to catch somebody afterwards. God offers amazing gifts to His people.